This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Enterprise. Good morning, I'm Frida Liu. Tempatico is a consultancy that uses urban strategy, place branding, conservation, culture change strategy, and placemaking to craft solutions, transforming spaces into places that build communities and, most importantly, create optimum value. I'm here with co-founders Li Jiaping and Yasmin Mokhtar. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of what it all means. But okay, Jiaping, we've known each other from the Listening Tree, and then you moved to Think City, and now this. What's your transformation story?
I think that, you know, when we first connected, I was, you know, determined to change corporate places, right? Look at building organizational culture, helping to give value to employees who were stuck in places and leaders who felt that they were stuck and needed to transform themselves. And then I was using the brand as a lever for change. And after a while, I just thought I needed new input or impetus. And one of my clients then was Kazana, and they were looking to transform Georgetown. And for some reason, one thing led to another, and I was commissioned to look at Think City, which was a offshoot of Kazana, looking at urban transformation and rejuvenation. And from creating their brand strategy, they offered me a job. And so I decided to say, why not? Because I think the nation really needed people to step up and say, I'm going to contribute. It was a time and a place where the nation was in crisis and needed, you know, help from all aspects.
All right. And of course, Think City, if you know, you've done a lot of interesting projects throughout the city and, you know, converting it and changing it and making me visit places that I, you know, wouldn't traditionally visit. Yasmin, what's your story? We've never met.
But hello, good morning. How are you?
How are you? How did you get together with Jiaping?
I've always been in advertising. So right after I graduated from college, actually, even before I graduated, I went into taking marketing and specialized in advertising in college. And from then on, it was advertising agencies all the way for the last 25 years. So I think Jiaping was in advertising before, we had common friends. And one day we met.
And she was telling me how she needed a change.
And then?
Because of the way the industry was moving. And then I said, oh, I need a change too. Because, you know, I felt that I had gone as far as I could in Think City. And it was you know, a high octane 5 years. And I needed to take a break from that high octane and to really relook at where I needed to go as a person, as well as career wise. And I knew that I wanted to still help empower people, but now it had changed to empowering spaces as well, because, you know, people also affect the places that they are in.
Right. Okay. Now, so Tempatico, I'm going to go through this again, is a consultancy that uses urban strategy, place branding, conservation, culture change strategy, and placemaking to craft solutions, transforming spaces into places that build communities, and most importantly, create optimal value. So there's a long story behind it, but I want to know, what is placemaking?
Placemaking is a bit of an all-rounded definition. To simplify it, it's really about going in and looking at what is not working in either a public space or a private space, and using a whole host of techniques or disciplines such as planning, architecture, urban design, and landscaping to make it better. So if you look at a space, there are places out there which you know are dead. Nobody goes there. It's underutilized, and you ask yourself, why? Why is it underutilized? And you realize that, you know, sometimes it's a place without trees. So, of course, you know that nobody's going to be there when the sun's out, you know. Right. And so it could be just a simple – placemaking could be just simply designing trees and putting in seats in the most strategic places, which is under the trees, right? Or it could be putting shelter in a space. And when we talk about corporate places, you know, there are a lot of malls which do a lot of events. So people think events is placemaking, but actually no. It is about how people get into the malls. So, you know, is it when you go in, is it smooth? Does it take you an hour to park? Because if it takes you an hour to park, that's bad placemaking, right? Because you're discouraging people from getting into a place. So placemaking really is to ease the to remove all obstacles of people going to a place so that it becomes a place of choice, right?
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit more intimate rather than urban planning, right? It's
correct.
You know, so it looks into, like you say, malls, and yeah, and I'm thinking like some places I don't want to go because, like you said, you know, it's difficult to park. I know I don't like the parking space or these sort of things, right? So okay, when you talk about what you're doing right now, how do you weave all the elements together?
So Yasmin and I have been working on methodologies to create something that resonates with each person. So we don't have a clear set of, you know, linear methodologies. We go in and we do deep listening. What is the issue of the place? What is the challenges? So for corporate places, when we go in, we listen to the employees tell us, you know, what are their issues. For public spaces, we go and listen to communities. And we go and listen to city managers, like the people who work in, let's say, DBKL or, local government. And we find out what are the challenges. And what we've discovered is that it all lies in corporate places. So, you know, if your corporation or your organization is not at its optimum and is creating wastes, like, you know, if you're working in silos, that creates a lot of waste because people duplicate their efforts, and it's a waste of time and a waste of resources. And that flows back into a place. So if you see certain places, you think, oh, hang on, why does this place need 10 chairs when only 3 are ever used? You know, so A, they didn't think about the flow, or how come this place has bollards here where, you know, if I'm a mother with a stroller, I can't get through. Right. Or, you know, so A, it's about understanding it from a user's perspective. When we worked with a client, we realized that one of the key problems was the place looked terrible. Externally, just to get into the area, it really felt it was messy. It had a lot of rubbish. And what we then worked through with them in terms of a customer experience mapping was that they felt they needed to take over the external place as well. So they went to the local government and said, local council, and said, can we take over the cleaning as well as the care, the maintenance of the place? And now the place is thriving because externally, before you even get into their place, it looks great and people just want to hang out, you know. So that is placemaking in a sense, where we go in and we help the leaders solve problems to get more people into their place.
Right. So, okay, this is an example. And I guess when I go to certain places, well, and you think, right, big name, and then you're, you know, when I'm face-to-face with the customer servicing person, and you think, right, why does this suck so much, right? And it's usually sometimes back to the internal infrastructure, as in people are not talking, or there's some issues internally, which gets filtered down into bad service, right? Anyway, we'll continue this conversation in just a moment. Lee Jiaping and Yasmin Mokhtar from Tempatico. You're listening to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Backing feminist movements. BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Enterprise. Good morning. I'm Frida Liu, speaking to Lee Jiaping and Yasmin Mokhtar from Tempatico. It's a consultancy that uses urban strategy and also placemaking. It's a long explanation of what your organization does. Okay, you know, you gave a very good example earlier on, but say I'm a client, right, in a corporate setting. And I said, I've got, what would you go through with me? And why would I be calling you, I guess?
Yeah. So if you were a client, one of the things would be I'm having issues with my culture. So I, you know, basically my values are not working for me. I'm losing a lot of talent. I can't attract young people, or I'm attracting the wrong young people, right? I've got an aging talent population. I've got leaders who work in silos. So all of this leads to a culture issue. Yeah.
Okay. And I think usually when we do have good leaders, like CEOs, they are visionary and they give good direction and instruction. But sometimes the messages doesn't filter down correctly to the executives and the young ones in the company.
Very interesting, because like when you're talking about how leaders don't manage to filter the information, recently I interviewed this person and he had to communicate with across his team, right? And he made sure that when he communicated with them, he had it internal. He had it on YouTube as well. So if they forget what he's trying to say, he said, please go back to that YouTube video of what we're trying to do, you know, so that communication still kept on going, right? I mean, it was an open door organization because it's a fairly small organization, but sometimes, you know, you know, there's a place that you constantly see what the person's trying to say, right? Who are your partners and collaborators coming up with this company?
So we have a few partners. Our most active partner is Steeple, and they're based out of Rotterdam in the Netherlands. And they are.
And what do they do?
They are urban planners who are also leading placemakers in Europe. So what they do is they have this very unique methodology called the city at eye level, and really what it does is it gets everyone to look at the city when they're designing and planning the city, to look at it from someone who is 6 foot tall, 5 foot tall, three feet tall. Right. And what is the eye? What does the eye see? So a lot of architects and developers build buildings that have just hard surfaces with nothing to interrupt the hard surfaces. And social sciences have revealed that places like this do not invite people. So what you want to do is you want to disrupt the hard surfaces. So let's say, you know, actually we've done it quite well in terms of our shop lots. When you go down to Jalan Telawi, you know, you have people with balconies that open up, right? So you can see directly into the cafe or the shops and things like that. So human beings love variety in terms of where the eye rests, and they're drawn to people, and people are drawn to spaces that they can, that are seamless in terms of inside and outside. So if you have a lot of brick walls and steel walls, it just means to people, what they're perceiving is this is a no-go area and I'm just going to walk past it very fast. But if you break up that wall and put a cafe with a seamless internal and external, so the walls are just these movable gates, immediately it will attract people. So there is a science to how you use places to attract people, and they are actually one of the experts in it.
Right, very interesting. And simple things, right? Like going to a toilet, bathroom, toilet, right? And then I want to hang my handbag, and it's so high up because.
Absolutely. Yes.
I think agree. You know, jumping in.
But we're not 6 foot, right?
Right. Yes. Okay, now, also on your website, it reads, great public places are inclusive, are a limited resource in every developing city. We hope to reverse this by rejuvenating often ignored spaces. One of our aspirations is to change ASEAN rooftops into friendly urban places. How so? And are there any case studies, you know, outside ASEAN that we are, you know, benchmarking against?
I think... not just outside ASEAN. I mean, in Singapore, they're doing amazing things with their roofscapes. So they are looking at turning them into gardens, turning them into energy places, so like solar panels, you know, that plug into the grid. But one of the things is really there's some design happening in Europe where they're designing living spaces in high-rises with built-in gardens. So every unit has a built-in garden. And so this is what we're talking about, you know, getting people to connect back to the earth. And that is placemaking, but it's a very, you know, visionary architect who understands how people live, right? You know, sometimes you go into spaces and it's just about, this is all we have, take it or leave it. And I feel that Malaysians, we have very little choice. I'm not talking about the luxury market. I'm talking about the middle market. We have very little choice in in the variety of spaces that build communities that help us connect to the ground in terms of, you know, having a garden. So I think this is the next revolution in designing places.
Okay, I know Singapore has a very aggressive strategy to turn urban farms, a lot of the places, into urban farming. Yeah. So that is like a goal by 2030 to be, you know, a self 30%, you know, self-sufficient in terms of vegetables and everything. So that whole conversation about changing the face of the nation. Now, so when you guys started this, right, what is your vision of the company and what it can do? Maybe Yasmin, you can start first.
Okay, I think, I mean, moving from advertising, for me, when we move into this consultancy space, it's really to help build and enable and empower governments and communities. And I think it all starts with ourselves. I mean, talking about placemaking, I had a small little balcony that was not activated, was empty. And then, you know, with the MCO happening, it started with me looking at this space and how can I make it better. So now it's become a little urban garden for myself. And I think it, for everyone, it's not garden with flowers. It's actually serai and pandans and things that I can cook with. So I think it all starts with us. And the energy and the motivations that I want to bring to everyone is really to empower them and make them, I guess, realize that it's all human-centric. When we build companies, when we build brands, it's really comes from our own incentive. It comes from our own good intentions that will impact others and communities.
So just to add on to what Yasmin says, one of the things that we're doing with a current client is that we build bridges between CEOs' messaging. And we're talking about, you know, large corporations with more than 800 staff, you know. And so you can watch what the CEO is saying on YouTube or, you know, read it in the memo. But how do you then do what he says, what he wants to make happen? So we set up the bridges, and the bridges are processes about communicating what he says down to their level, letting them create the methodologies or the pathways to actually make the vision come alive at their level. So again, another client that we did, we basically did the challenge, the innovation challenge, and we said that if anybody comes up with an innovative idea, we would give them, you know, 500 ringgit. And some of the best ideas came from the kakak that made tea, and also the delivery boy who basically saved money with their innovations. And the kakak who made tea basically started saying, you know, I need money to buy a trolley because I see people queuing up for coffee and it wastes time because you only have one coffee machine. And so what I do is by serving people coffee, I save time for the company and for the people. And then the outcome of that was people felt valued because they say, oh, only the bosses get tea made for them. But now I'm getting tea made for me, so I feel valued. So it's the little things.
Right.
Yeah. And if your vision is not translated to the youngest or the most junior staff and they don't understand what to do with it, then there are gaps. And the gaps cause waste.
Okay. So I guess like when you started this company, you know, both of you, I guess it was to change the nation. You know, I know that. So there's such a big picture thing, but if there was a mission statement or a vision statement, what would it be?
Well, I mean, you know, I love Simon Sinek, and you know, he always talks about your why. So Tempatico's why is we design futures that foster hope, and we embed hope in all our projects. Hope for a better life, a deeper connection to places that we work and live in, because it's all connected, right? You know, if you're not happy at your workplace, you're not happy at your home place, right? And then there are consequences to that. So we try and fix not just the space that you go out to, but also the place that you work in.
Okay, thanks for spending time with me. Li Jiabing and Yasmin Mokhtar from Tempatico. You've been listening to Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.